Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, gonna jump in there with the last of our interviews of the top tier candidates in the district for congressional race. Voting is on Tuesday. Stephen Brown, good morning.
Good morning, Tara.
Glad to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Glad to talk with you.
Absolutely. Okay, tell me a little bit about who you are. What's your background? Why should folks elect you?
Grew up in Charleston and went off to school at Johns Hopkins University. Graduated from law school at University of South Carolina in Columbia. And moved to the upstate 33 years ago. I've been married for 32 years to Debbie. We have each practiced law successfully over those years here in Greenville. Raised three children who are now all adults and doing fine things as productive adults themselves. And I've been consistent as a conservative leader. I have never held political office, never made any money in politics. I think that's an important distinction between me and half of the folks I'm running against in this particular race here in the top tier. And I've led on conservative issues. I'm a former chairman of the Greenville County Republican Party. And so while I don't have a voting record, I do have a public record of about 30 years of being actively involved in our communities, fighting for these conservative causes that we believe in.
Stephen Brown, I'm going to jump right in with a couple of things. And I wanted to ask you more about this. In our first debate, you know, everybody talks a lot about abortion in the primaries. And so that's why I end up talking about it, because everybody's talking about Planned Parenthood. And then it seems like candidate after candidate, and we've seen Trey Gowdy do this, go to Washington and fund ever-increasing amounts of money for Planned Parenthood in budgets. They vote yes and not no. That's how Planned Parenthood gets funded. We asked about this at the first debate. Here's what you said.
I'm going to be opposing budgets all the way through that would have Planned Parenthood funding in it, but I'll just answering that question directly. If there was a situation where we had everything else in the budget that we were looking for and we were going to balance the budget, I'd probably vote for a balanced budget in that sense, if that was the compromise that was needed.
Isn't that, though, how we continue voting for budgets year after year with Planned Parenthood funding in them?
Well, we have to make sure that by the time we actually have a final vote on the budget, that Planned Parenthood is not in it. And Tara, as you know, because you were at that debate and asked that question, you asked the question, I had 30 seconds to answer it. And for 30 seconds, I gave the perfect answer on my position, which is strongly pro-life, opposing abortion, fighting all the time to eliminate Planned Parenthood from the budget. And after that answer was over, that's when you said, would you promise to never under any circumstances vote for a budget that included Planned Parenthood? And of course, I never faced that. But I also want to be very honest, and I've always done that, and that's exactly how I tried to answer your question. But the bottom line is we have to be smart enough to address these issues through the committees and not wait until a final budget is voted on that has Planned Parenthood in it. I've been a leader on this for years. I'm strongly pro-life, and I'm telling you, I'm not looking to go along just to get along in Washington. I'll be out there leading on these fights so that we don't have to vote for such a budget. And I made a big point of that because I think we have to change out the leadership in the Republican Congress. You know, Trey Gowdy just voted for this $1.3 trillion budget that included the Planned Parenthood funding. Yeah. President Trump signed it into law. I don't want to have to be faced with the same decisions that Trey Gowdy has had to make, which is to go along with the leadership of my party or do what the folks of my district sent me there to do. And if we can change out the leadership, I think I can avoid that dilemma. That's why I've called for the election of Jim Jordan as the next Speaker of the House. We have to go up there and change the way that business is done in Washington.
Talking to Stephen Brown, he is a candidate in District 4. Now, Stephen, you have indicated in the past that you would vote for a DACA amnesty. Explain that to me.
Well, first of all, no, I don't agree with the DACA amnesty. The only position I've taken is that one of supporting what President Trump has proposed. That's it. Tara, 20-some-odd years ago when I was chairman of the party, these issues came up because we had this issue with illegal immigration. We've had it for years. My position has been, if you're in this country illegal, you are entitled to no benefit at all, period. The only benefit that I would provide to someone who is here illegally is a free bus ride back to the border, period. That's been my position. It hasn't changed. Donald Trump has come along and made a big issue of this nationally, which I greatly appreciate. And, you know, as to the DACA issue, which was an unconstitutional program established by President Obama, President Trump has come up with a resolution of this, a potential resolution, if we can get Congress to agree, that would give a strong security, build the wall, get rid of chain immigration, get rid of the lottery system for immigration. And I support those pillars that President Trump has proposed. And under those circumstances alone, I've indicated that I would go along with the president to reach that compromise solution for a pathway to citizenship for those DACA folks to take advantage of. But President Trump has gone even farther than that, which I do not support. He's proposed giving this pathway to citizenship for another million folks who would have been eligible for DACA, but who never even bothered to sign up for it. But that's the only way that I would go along with any form of a resolution for DACA is what the president has proposed.
Okay, good. And I don't assume that because Trump supports it, it's right when it comes to DACA. We've criticized him heavily. And I know you understand, Stephen Brown. I mean, Trump did not win the popular vote. I mean, even 700,000 brand new voters could tip it to a point where a Republican president never wins again. And we have a liberal Supreme Court. That's pretty much, KOA, lights out for the country. And that's what I was going to ask you. The DACA plan right now before Congress, which who knows, Trump may or may not support. It reads like this. It's 1.5 to 3 million. People get, are given the pathway to citizenship with chain migration. Since the average person brings six people, that could be anywhere from 9 million to 21 million legalized. Would you vote for that? Because that's the current proposal right now that has the backing of the leadership. It's the only one that's going to get a vote as of now.
No, my answer is absolutely unequivocally no. As I just told you, there are only roughly 800,000 people in the DACA program, not 1.5 to 3 million. This is critically important. The truth is, we have no idea how many illegals are currently in the country. That is a fact. Everything else is a guesstimate of some type when you talk about 12 million or whatever number it might be. We do know how many people are in the DACA program because that's a federal program that people had to sign up for. That number is somewhere in the neighborhood of 800,000 folks. And that's the part that I would have said I would be willing to compromise on to support the president. That's it. That's what I'm talking about, not the proposal that you just read off.
And we just want to get everybody on record on that. Stephen Brown, congratulations. You've been elected to Congress. Got the staff hired. All the furniture's moved in. What is the first thing you jump in and work on, that thing that you just have a passion for and you'll feel like you failed if you don't, accomplish or try very hard to accomplish? What is that thing for you?
We've got to rein in the federal bureaucracy. That's what the problem is. We have got to get control of this federal bureaucracy that's out of control. We have to honor our Constitution. We as a nation have allowed the federal bureaucracy to grow far beyond what was intended by the Constitution. The federal government Congress has ceded power to both the judiciary and the executive branches, and we have to change that. And we're not going to simply be able to adopt constitutional amendments. All these Republicans run for office telling you how conservative they are because they'll support a constitutional amendment for term limits, a constitutional amendment to balance the budget, a constitutional amendment to end abortion, and none of those things are ever going to happen. That's something we can't wait for that. So we have to be smart and come up with strategic ideas to work within the current framework. For example, what I'd be doing first is to look to judicial power limitation under Article 3 of the Constitution. The United States Congress, in its own authority, can actually eliminate the federal courts underneath the Supreme Court. All of the judicial power is vested in one United States Supreme Court. What the Congress can do is limit the jurisdiction of federal courts to really go out there and limit the authority that they have and gather more of that power back within the arms of the United States Congress. That's one of the things we can do.
Stephen,
the other thing we can do is within the civil service rules to get control of the bureaucracy.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you, I have had candidates tell me similar things for about 15 years, and even the most conservative of them go to Washington and they vote for unbalanced budgets with massive debt spending. And we end up exactly where we are. Will you vote at any time ever for a budget that has debt spending in it? That's the only way to fight this problem. Those budgets have to go down.
That's an easy answer. The answer is yes, I will, because you're not going to be able to balance the budget in 1 year. Anyone that tells you that they would never vote for an unbalanced budget is not being realistic. You're not going to go from an unbalanced budget in year one to a balanced budget in year two. So there has to be a comprehensive plan to achieve a balanced budget over a several-year window. And there's just no other way to approach that. It's unrealistic to say that you would never vote for an unbalanced budget. Of course, what I won't be doing is only voting for an unbalanced budget that is leading us with a specific plan, identifiable plan, to achieve that balanced budget. We have to do that. And we can balance the budget, but it's going to be very hard. Difficult decisions have to be made. We have to grow the economy by cutting taxes and limiting regulation on the one hand so the economy expands, while at the same time limiting the spending on the other. We've not done that. We've only done half of that so far. The tax cut from 2017 was terrific. Reducing the regulations have been terrific. The economy is really beginning to go skyrocket, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're spending more money than we're taking in. That's the worst situation. We have to do both things at the same time. And I'm absolutely, that's why I'm running. This $21 trillion debt is not sustainable. That's really what has motivated me to stand up and fight this fight and make this race, because the bottom line is I truly believe that the greatest single threat to our national sovereignty is our inability to govern ourselves and control our own spending.
Stephen Brown,
I
agree with you on that. We're in agreement on that. Stephen Brown is a candidate in the District 4 congressional race. The vote is on Tuesday. Where can people go to find out more about you online?
VoteStephenBrown.com. It's our website. And there's a link there to the Facebook page. I'd like folks to check that out. What you need is an experienced leader that can really make a difference here. I tell you, I know a lot of folks are looking at myself and comparing me to, say, Lee Bright, because we're very similar on the issues. And I would suggest to you that the difference there, we're very similar on the issues, but the difference is I've got the ability to help us lead in Congress. Now, you need more than just the guts to fight and the heart to lead, both of which Lee has and I do as well. But you also have to have the wisdom to win. Meaning you have to come up with a plan and a strategy to accomplish what needs to be done. For example, when Lee was in the state Senate, one senator has great power to be able to hold up legislation. That is not true in the U.S. House of Representatives. One member of the House just gets run over. In the House, you have to have the ability to persuade, to work with other members, both in your caucus and across the aisle, and convince them that this is what needs to be done to lead our nation through this difficult problem.
And Stephen Brown, definitely a criticism of Lee Bright that we have heard before. I have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.